Councilmember Mangone is absent. Councilmember McReynolds?
Here.
Chair Halter?
Here.
Members are present.
Great. Let's move on to public comments. Are there any public communications that are not on agendized items?
We have not received any public comment.
Is anybody online right now? Okay.
No.
Okay. So go to our first formal item. Approval of committee minutes from April 10th, 2025.
Move to approve.
Okay. And I would second. All in favor, take roll, please. You need to.
Councilmember Mangone is absent. Councilmember McReynolds?
Yes.
Chair Halter?
Yes. Information items. Item two is revitalizing Ventura startup ecosystem. Can we hear?
All right, here we go.
Great.
Just in time.
Perfect timing.
Were you caught me wandering hallways?
Yeah. You too. How's everything? Good.
We actually started the meeting and went on item two. All we did was approve the minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Only because it's a short time period for this meeting.
Getting through this thing. All right. So very excited to just do a quick history of the city of Ventura's kind of incubator innovation timeline. Back in 2007 is when the city really started investing in what some may remember is V2TC, which was Ventura Adventures Technology Center. That was up in the 505 building. Upstairs is where that took place. And then throughout the years, there's been some changes. 2009, 2014, that's when the trade desk was born. We also had Giddy Up come through this. In 2014, the program was managed by the city, and then we kind of outsourced it with a group called Aspire 3, and they managed it for a few years. And then it really kind of started to lose momentum. There was some decisions to make some changes here in the 505 building and what kind of the tenancy looked like. And so the incubator kind of took a back seat as no longer the main focus for the city. And then come our new economic development strategy, which you all approved. Thank you very much. It has a renewed focus on startups and innovation. And so while we knew that was in our work plan, we've then got to connect with Startup Ventura, with Luke Erickson, and started some conversations with Startup Ventura and Generator on what is called a G-Beta Accelerator. The proposal is that we partner with Startup Ventura and Generator to do this G-Beta program. Generator is a larger agency. They are operate in 30 underserved markets. They are among the top 10 accelerator investors nationwide. Lots of startups, billions of capital raised, over 11,000 jobs. So a very secure, known company that with known success, which minimizes the risk for us. And then you have Startup Ventura with Luke, which is a 501c3. They are the local nonprofit, entrepreneur-focused, community-driven initiative. So when you put those two organizations together, the city of Ventura would get a 7 to 8 week program for early stage startups, which includes a one-on-one mentoring and coaching, co-working space, public events, alumni support. And there is a 3-year impact goal. Well, the kind of agreement that we're working with Startup Ventura right now is for 1 year. The goal is to have this for 3 years minimum with 30 startups, pre-seed and seed rounds, and over 160 jobs created. So what we are doing is the economic development team, we have an existing budget, and we are looking to do a professional services agreement with Startup Ventura. Startup Ventura is going to have an MOU with Generator, and once that is finalized, then we will start our work with the professional services agreement. It is for $49,500, and this is kind of for the initial startup of this G-Beta program, and we have the budget to do that right now. So thankful for you having the economic development implementation funds. We can do this and just go ahead and move forward. And if we so desire, if we're seeing great things come from it, we can have the discussion on making this an ongoing item in our budget. In return for the city sponsorship, we are guaranteed two Ventura startups or companies who are starting to start up in the cohort. The headquarters will be located in Ventura, and that's very big. Whenever we've been talking about things, we wanted this to be in Ventura. We will gain access to the investors, mentors, and best practices. And this is really the most low-risk, high-reward model that we can do, where we can activate our innovators, our community partners, and still get a lot of the goodness from it. It will support our local business and attract and retain these quality jobs. So that's really it. So this is more an information item. It's a receive and file, and it's just to let you know that we know that this is part of our strategy. We have found a great partner. We have vetted them, and we feel comfortable moving forward. And this is something, when the MOU is completed between Generator and Startup Ventura, then we will enter into our services agreement with them and kick this off.
Awesome. Very good. Thank you for the report. Are we going to hear from...
If you have a question, you can ask him, but keep in mind, we still have another item, and we are, I don't know, 20 minutes ago.
3:36.
Yeah, happy to field any questions. Otherwise, yeah, I got a time crunch, I understand.
I'm pretty familiar with the program, what's going on, so I'm very excited about this opportunity.
Go ahead. My question is that going to come before the council for approval after that MOU is finalized?
It does not need to. It is under the threshold, so it does not need council approval. So this is really to let you know. We know this is in the strategy. We have the budget for it, and it's something that we're moving forward with.
And obviously with the Brooks Institute issues, keep that in front of mind. We don't want a repeat of that.
Yep, we got checks and balances that will be built into the agreement and that we've been talking with about.
Excellent. Anything you want to say for this?
Yeah, I'll just say I'm really excited. And although my board of directors, Frank Krause and Brian Gonzalez, weren't able to be here, we're really excited as a board to be partnering with the city. Ever since we met and came up with the idea to bring an incubator back, we knew that the city had invested in stuff like this in the future and that it was a priority for them to continue to invest in innovation. And so I think this is going to be a fantastic start to the partnership. And as Meredith mentioned, hopefully we're able to deliver more success stories like Trade Desk and Giddy Up and be able to continue to build our partnership as the years go on, hopefully far beyond even the 3 years, that we're going to be starting.
Fantastic. Any other questions, comments? Okay, I just want to say that I'm very excited about this. I think it's a great opportunity, and it's yet another step in the right direction for our city. So thank you, Mr. Erickson, for bringing this forward and working with our staff to make this a possibility, and of course with our chamber. Yeah. I know it's been involved in this as well. So thank you.
One question. Any like movement or updates on different locations?
Yeah, so still looking at locations. That's something that Brent and Brian they're both currently renters of office space for both their companies here in Ventura. So I've had them kind of reach out to their landlords and ask if there's spaces that they know are becoming open. There is one space that is going to be, it's right down the street from City Hall here up on Poli. It's technically like residential commercial that we might like. Otherwise, obviously, we've talked about the annex building, we've talked about the mall, but no finalized plans as far as the space will be, other than certainly in there.
Yeah. Okay. With that, let's. There's no motion needed for C5. Okay. Moving to item number 3 is the economic indicators data report, fiscal year 2024-25. Staff report, please.
Great. So, thank you all. I wanted to introduce, and some of you may have seen her already, or you haven't. This is our newest team member of our economic development team. Kaylin Garcia. She has been with us since about the end of July, but is already a seasoned part of our team. Jumped in, started running, came to us from Santa Clarita. She's been incredible at doing exactly what we wanted. We have these data tools that the council had us invest in as part of the strategy. Hiring her was part of the strategy of the resource allocation that we needed, and she has been able to compile kind of what we are going to be doing as a frequent report to you, so that way you can see the actual numbers and the KPIs and how we're doing and the overall health of the city. So we're connecting our data to our strategic action in our report. This helps us understand our strength, target those opportunities, and really live those items that we have in our strategy and help us focus our efforts and pushing forward. So with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kaylin, and she's going to tell you all the amazing stuff she's done over the last couple months.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Meredith. Welcome. So I am especially excited to give this data update today, because when you're an economic data analyst, you don't always get to share good news, but this is a very positive data report. There's a lot of real growth and momentum that we can see in these numbers. So I'm excited to get started. So as a quick refresher, these are our baseline demographics that you're likely very familiar with already. I do want to point out our median household income is $9.79K. That's pretty impressive. That's actually surpassing the state of California's average right now. So we're outperforming the state. And then I did list a couple of our key demographic groups. This is based on the Experian Mosaic Report, which essentially divides demographics into fun groups with fun names that help you remember their traits and their spending patterns and things like that. So with these three groups, the thing that they have in common is that they are all high earners. So booming with confidence, these are upscale, higher middle class established families. Our singles and starters are younger but upwardly mobile professionals who are starting out in their careers. And then our bourgeois melting pot are upward to upper to middle income households. So yeah, what they all have in common is that they are high earners. And that's a big asset for Ventura because when we advertise that to businesses, we're hoping to attract, they see consumers who have more discretionary spending power. So if you're a restaurant or a retailer, when you see something like this, that is super exciting. So that brings me to our next slide. Ventura, as you know, has a lot of very valuable marketable assets. These are things that companies at industry conferences we go to, like ICSC, which is the International Conference for Shopping Centers, are really excited to see. We've got a strategic position. It's a great midpoint between LA and Santa Barbara, a large trade area, great access to the 101 and Port Hueneme is really close by. We've got access to airports. And then, of course, our beautiful coastal lifestyle. I also want to point out the low sales tax rate. So 7.75, when I saw that coming from Santa Clarita, I was like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to put this on every single flyer because in LA County, the average sales tax rate is 10% and higher. So, and just our neighbor next door in Oxnard, it's 9.75%. So that's a 2% difference. That's huge. And then you pair that with a strong tourism activity with 4.4 million visitors annually. That is just a great combination. And we're going to continue to market these assets and really emphasize the value that they bring to our city for businesses. And speaking of businesses, let's take a look at business license activity. So this bar chart you see actually shows business license activity over the last 10 years. As you can see, it has maintained steady growth year after year. There's not a single year where we saw less people applying for business licenses. So that's commercial, residential, which are people who are running businesses out of their homes. And then out of city are businesses that are located in other cities, but are getting licenses to be able to do business in Ventura. So as you can see, commercial in the last 10 years, 96% increase. Residential, 171% increase. 276 increase for out of city. And just in the last year alone, we've seen 8% increase in commercial businesses. So this is great growth. And as we're thinking about the strategy, it's good to think about how we can maintain and sustain this growth over the coming years. And then these are the top business types who are applying for business licenses. I know we're going fast and furious today, but all of these categories are also listed in the staff report that goes along with this presentation, and I'm happy to provide more information later on. So another positive indicator are vacancy rates. So similar to median income, we are outperforming both the state and the county in our vacancy rates, which is amazing. So our vacancy rates are lower than the industry benchmarks across all of our sectors, which is a strong indicator that our overall commercial retail market, commercial real estate market is stable, it's in demand, it's regionally competitive. And then if you take a look at our 10-year timeline, obviously with there was a strong dip in industrial vacancy around 2021, 2022. You might remember that's when a lot of shipping businesses were looking for warehouse space. Nobody could find any. And it looks like Ventura followed that trend. There's been a steady increase in industrial rates since then. But that is more so a sign of increasing inventory, which is keeping us competitive. And then with office, A lot of other cities are really struggling with office vacancy right now since most companies have moved to remote or hybrid models post-pandemic. So to have an office vacancy rate that's a little bit above 5% is really something to be boastful about. And then unemployment rates, same case, yay. We're outperforming the county and the state level. And we are trailing very close to the national average right now. We are at 4.2% as our average within the last year, and the US was at 4.1%. So we are doing close, and look how much lower we are than the county and the state. It's awesome. And then these are just some stats about our workforce. If you take a look at the ratio of those participating in the labor force, which is employees, compared to the overall labor force, which is people who are able to and are pursuing work, that's a pretty high participation rate. So we've got a strong workforce available here. And then on this side, if you take a look at employee origins, it's a heat map that shows us where most of our employees are coming from. That bright red in Ventura means that most of our employees are local. And you can see below, more than 60% of employees are local, which is awesome. And then we also have a list of employment types. It's pretty typical in most cities that most of the employees are working for private companies, but we also have some self-employed folks. We have us working in government. So it's a good mix. It's a diverse mix. And then these are our employment concentrations. If you're not familiar with this type of indicator, it essentially compares how specialized we are in certain industries compared to the national average. So the closer you are to one, which is the average, means that you are performing around the same level as what's we're seeing nationally. And if you're above one, above average, below, same thing. So our below average categories, it might say below average, but these are actually great opportunities for us to take a look about where we are underrepresented in terms of business activity in talks, you know, with the incubator and our upcoming business attraction conferences. This type of data is really useful for us to know what type of sectors we should be exploring and targeting. And then above average, you can see we're doing really well in mining and healthcare, retail and finance and insurance. So how do we, our focus will be figuring out how we sustain growth in these sectors and keeping these businesses going well. Same thing with construction, where we're performing at the average. And that wraps up all of our indicators. I have a list here of how each of the indicators can connect to our Vibrant Ventura goals. But overall, like Meredith said, we'll be having at least quarterly updates with this data. And the overall goal is being able to make informed decisions and strategic actions in terms of our business attraction and retention.
So thank you. What a great investment that you made in our resources. So having Kim and be able to do this absolutely levels us up and then allows Carrie and I to focus more on the actual strategy and how we can actually move everything forward. So it's been a wonderful team asset, and we are so happy to have Kim.
Okay. Questions or comments from my colleagues?
Can we get back to slide 2 show this presentation? So the demographics, so you're using 110 points. So we're just over 100, just under 111,000.
Yes, correct.
And does that jive with the Department of Finance in terms of how we're actually getting money?
Yeah, and these numbers are from our most recent, I wanted to use our most recent census data. We have a couple of other resources that we can rely on, but I think that is it's probably the most accurate number in terms of population.
But we get paid on the Department of Finance, the State Department of Finance, not the census.
But yeah, so it's the same number, though, is what I'm saying. They're reporting similar population demographics.
And then key demographic groups, is that? So 18% of the 110,000?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So what are the other categories? I'd be interested in seeing the other categories in terms of understanding the age of our population.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be happy to. We have all that data available through Placer, so I'd be happy to pull that for you.
And then on the next slide, the three airports. Is the third one Santa Barbara?
Yes,
correct. Okay. And then what is the advantage of being next to the 33?
Just having close access to freeways is not something that all cities can tout. So to have access to two main lines is something that's pretty cool.
I think I'd be more interested in this highlighting the 126 than the 33 as an access point. And then on the next slide, the vacancy rates. No, keep going. So how do the vacancy rates coincide with under indicators? So, because I haven't heard that we're that level of vacancy in industrial in the area.
Yeah, so in terms of how they coincide with the other indicators, because we're having increased numbers of businesses, it makes sense that our vacancy rates are relatively low because they're probably occupying all of those spaces. Industrial is a tricky one because it tends to have a lot of fluctuation depending on when new space comes live. But in terms of your question about industrial, like, is there anything specific with that data you're interested in?
My understanding is we're closer to 1%. Right? There is no industrial vacancy.
Sometimes it can seem that way because so this data includes subleases. So if you're looking at your direct vacancy, which is directly from the landlord, that can be different. But including subleases, they're typically a little bit more space than people anticipate.
I guess I'd be interested in seeing some of the other economic indicators there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Those are my questions.
I have a couple of questions. First, I'm always cautious on business licenses, as you heard me say before, only because I know I had to have 5 business licenses. Right. So the true number of businesses versus how we slice and dice business licenses, I've got to make sure that we're looking at that, because I'm one business. Well, it was 5 business licenses. It's down to 3 now. So we're going the right direction, but it still takes 3 business licenses for me to run my business. Mm-hmm. So,
which is probably making up for the people that don't have business licenses.
Yeah.
This is absolutely something that Caitlin can look into. Okay,
and I will say too, when we've looked at sales tax data, they report the number of businesses who are paying into sales tax, and the numbers are relatively similar. So I would say, like Carrie said, there are a lot of businesses that don't have licenses. So I'd feel safe saying that it's probably a pretty accurate number.
Okay. Not to belabor that, but just just to make sure that we're really talking true number of businesses. Second is, it'd be interesting to know the educational level of the workforce that lives in Ventura.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The workforce that works in Ventura, but the workforce that lives in Ventura.
Yeah.
Okay. And then third, it'd be interesting to know the number of small businesses or even startups per capita.
Oh, yeah.
I believe we're a much more creative community than most, is what I would probably see. And then I would say there's 4 airports because of Santa Paula too, right?
Oh yeah, we could include that one. There you go.
Right.
Yeah, we can't. They're all private. CEO flying into Santa Paula.
As sake of urgency, I didn't ask for public comments last time, so I'm not sure. There's only 2 people here. Either one of you have any comments on this?
I just had one comment question, maybe.
Yeah.
On the slide that shows the percentage of where we're at as compared to the others.
For unemployment rate, or?
Or it was coupled ahead of us, like the opportunities versus the.
The employment concentration. Yes.
Are we back or before?
I think it's ahead of
this. This is the second.
There we go.
Okay. Yeah.
I was actually really surprised to see government is only 0.67, since our largest employers are the city, the county, school district.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think because we are the county seat, I'm shocked that that's not higher.
Yeah, we can definitely look into it. So this comes from a Lightcast report from the county. So I'm happy to look into that numbers.
Yeah, I'd be curious how that pans out. I would think we'd be much higher.
Can you go back to the slide that had the sales tax percentage slides?
We don't have a sales tax.
Was it?
Well, it showed that we had 7.7.
It showed that we had the kind of, you even referenced, we have the lowest sales tax, right?
Oh, there, yeah.
Yeah, so that can be, you know, kind of looked at as a good thing, but also where's the sweet spot for like a, you know, a city with our similar size and population? Where do you want to be at with the sales tax? Do you necessarily want to have the lowest sales tax rate, or Because I'm talking about in terms of revenue from
revenue, yeah, but
right, like
question. You know, I think that there's a lot of varying factors that go within that. I think having the low sales tax rate does kind of incentivize more spend in here. So if you were to go and say a store that's in Oxnard, that is the exact same store we have in Ventura, are you going to go to Oxnard to do it or Ventura? Like, do Ventura. Maximize your resources, right? Your dollar goes a little farther. So I think that's one way we can say something, but then also we do need to invest in our infrastructure. And so as far as that sweet spot, I would have to confer with Greg Morley before I say anything in a public meeting about that.
Yeah. Well, and I will add that I think for larger purchases in terms of business attraction and consumer power. If I'm buying a car, I'm going to come to the Ventura Auto Center because of that sales tax difference, because that's hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Your tax rate.
For the car, yeah.
Yeah.
Your tax rate travels with you, but.
But you use your mother's address in Ventura.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other comments, questions?
I think one thing that'd be interesting, and I think Meredith, you know about this, we're trying to work on building a relationship with the community college district as well. So as far as jobs go and demographic data, it'd be interesting to know how many people coming out of Ventura College or any of the community colleges are finding their first jobs in Ventura versus having to go to Santa Barbara, Thousand Oaks, LA. I don't know if that's findable data, but that would be really interesting to know.
Going back to Councilmember Magonet's question. I don't know if you have access to this data. It's not available yet. But if you live in Ventura, you go to Costco, you pay $9.25. So my question is, I'm driving to Costco, I got to get on the freeway. Do I drive 6 more miles to go to Camarillo, pay 2% less for everything?
Right. I think the answer is yes.
I'm already getting off the freeway.
Cheap gas there too.
Yeah, so. I think it depends on what you're buying.
Are you getting the giant tub of cheese puffs?
Or are you buying an AC unit?
Yeah, nowhere on time frame. So is this a receipt?
Yep.
Okay, so no votes necessary. And then can we get a copy of the PowerPoint?
Of course.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and then, like I said, the staff report has all of the information, plus a little bit more detail, so I encourage you all to read it.
Okay.
We actually get that as part of the supplemental packet for the next council meeting.
Oh.
So our colleagues can get it.
Sure.
Shut down. Okay. Well, that'd be a great idea. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Any problem doing
that? No, I don't think.
Good. So we're now... Economic Development Committee and Staff Communications.
Yes. Thank you. All right, our staff update. Everything that everybody's wanted to know about this waterfront project RFQ. So this is, as we, I know we all can attest, a very exciting and important project for the city. So a quick reminder, when we released RFQ, this was an ask for a vision of what could be. This was asking the open market what you could see would be a viable thing to create here, and this is for the harbor parking structure property from the parking structure towards the pier. And so the RFQ process closed on June 12th, and we did get 3 responses. And from that, we did have an evaluation committee that met near the end of July and scored the 3 respondents. And then we started to get into a conversation with our city attorney and our purchasing department on the best way to move this forward. We do have some rules and regulations and policies and procedures that we've had to go on through to ensure that we are doing this in the most collaborative and inclusive way possible. And so as we have done that, our goal is to bring this to closed session and then follow that with an agendas item here at the Economic Development Subcommittee. So with that, we are looking to potentially host a special meeting in September. So please check your email for that date. And let me know how that works, because then that'll kind of fall back on the schedule of closed session to the Economic Development Subcommittee to then setting up and doing the next kind of steps in the process, if that's what council sees fit.
Other questions? I have some, but I'd like to ask my colleagues. Okay. This is something very near and dear to our heart for many years, so I'm anxious to see those. I understand there's a process. I'm not sure what that process is other than what you just described, so that helps clarify some of it. But one, I'm hoping that we're keeping the 3 that when that's submitted, a chance to invest in this community breast, whatever that process is and what the time period
is. So our purchasing department, and so while we've been working on this, the respondents can only talk to our purchasing department. They're not allowed to talk to us. They're not allowed to talk to council. They're not allowed to talk to our city management. And so we had coordinated with our purchasing department on a message that is being shared with the three respondents. And within the RFQ process, it did kind of set a timeline as to when you would hear from us. We are still within that timeline. But we do know that this is a very exciting thing. Yeah. And we just need to make sure that we're following everything, because this is going to be such a cool thing. Right, and a very exciting part of our community if it were to move forward, if council deems so. So again, we are looking forward to doing this closed session first, and then we'll be able to then more publicly be able to share the respondents.
Okay.
This is what the open market bear. This is the vision, reminding everybody that, because it is very important that when these projects do become public, these are not the final. This is what it's going to be, right? These are ideas. This is what could be part of this process.
So as a follow-up to that, is that making sure that we're all three of these entities that are capable of investing to make that happen, or is it just people who have ideas of what they'd like to see on that site?
No, the part of the RFQ process is that they had to show certain parts and respond in certain ways, and that were then evaluated by a committee of five to show how they hit those markers for each one of those qualifications.
Perfect. Okay, next.
Who was on that committee?
The committee was Brian Pendleton of the Port District. It was Kevin Clarice, not as a member of DDP, but as Kevin Clarice. And it's important that we clarify that in a public meeting. it was also Rachel Diamond. It was Charlie Ebling and myself. And then we all met together, and it was important that we had Brian Pendleton in that, because we are in the general plan talking about the linkage of the service point of the promenade and the harbor and our entire coast. So we really wanted to ensure that we were kind of inclusive in talking and bring everybody in who would be good parties and partners in this project.
So how did you score each of the proposals? Like, those are like a matrix?
So there's an evaluation criteria that is within the public RFQ kind of packet. So everybody who responded or didn't want to respond, or the public, can see that right now and see how we were looking through and potentially scoring any of the responders.
Would you like a copy of that?
I will.
Okay. Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Thank you.
And if I may, is while all those names are good, responsible names of people that can share a different perspective, I have always seen our Chamber of Commerce as an arm of our economic development. Mm-hmm. So was there a reason why we didn't have representation?
We can have five.
Okay.
And this is part of what we were working through with purchasing and our city attorney's office, because we too wanted to have, and we were talking with Stephanie about this, we wanted the CEO of the chamber to look into it. We wanted Visit Ventura to also be a partner to look into it.
Yeah.
However, we needed to have a more intense kind of focus, and then the goal was to get their input and add that into when we brought it to the Economic Development Subcommittee. But then we started seeing the policies and procedures and our procurement manual and different things that we had to follow, and realized that that was not the way that we can do this. So those are all the fun things that pop up as you are creating such a new process and such a new thing here. We are looking forward to the closed session, because after the closed session, we can then do the more public side of this.
And if there is any excitement or angst at all, for those of us that were around when we did the Portside project, that was almost immediately brought to the public, and everybody did a beauty contest presentation in front of the public and to the Port Committee within a matter of weeks of those being submitted. And then it took 22 years to get it out of the ground after that. But yeah, we'll forget that part and hope that we do much better this time.
Right. And that's definitely the goal when they are more of the final actual project. That's still quite a ways away. There's a few other steps, right? Again, this is the vision. And so when it gets to that point, we will ensure, absolutely, we want the public involved. That's very, very important.
Okay. Any other updates for the sake of order here today? I think you're right on time for that ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
Unless we're going to end a business for the future.
I'll be
on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And this is going to be a special meeting on September 25th, but that's the next one. That is still the fourth Thursday at 3:30. So I'm hoping that can still kind of work through your schedules. Otherwise, it's October. But we have so much momentum and things going on. I really would appreciate meeting in September.
Okay, what are we going to do the key economic projects?
The Catalyst projects?
Yeah.
So the Catalyst projects are working in concert with some funding arm things that we are working through. We're looking into EIFDs and different kind of climate resiliency district items. And so in order to have a Catalyst project and to have that figured out, there needs to be funding. So we're kind of working in concert and working those together. However, we do have a lot of research that we've done on criteria for the Catalyst projects, and that will be coming to you in the next quarter.
Okay. Great. With that, if there's no further comments, questions, any? Yep. That's it. With that, the meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
And I hope you're all connected to everybody. Have you guys feeling for me? Because I'm going to make up some time that lost today.